Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? Oh, that's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, you know what I'm getting ready to ask you, right? Where were you all week? Yes. Where were you all week? Oh, man, this has been one fantastic week over here on the Due Time with Pastor Steph. We started off the week with our Due Time crew asking, inmate love, would you wait? Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Would you wait if your mate went to jail? Think about it. Because our Due Time crew surely had an answer for you. You know, we started off with, you know, if it's just your boyfriend, your girlfriend, somebody you're dating, and they gave an answer. And then we slid it on over to what if it were your husband or your wife? Yeah, because at that point, you know, you've made some different vows. Yeah. You know, you have one conversation when it's your man or your woman, but when you didn't stood up before the world and Jesus and your peoples and the minister, are you willing to wait? Well, I think you want to go back and listen to what the Due Time crew had to say, whether they would wait or not. Well, you know good and well that as long as it's the Due Time crew, they had the wheels turning in your head, and they had you laughing. Because, man, oh, man, oh, man, did they have some answers, okay? Well, there's no other way to shut down a Monday if not for the switch tip. Yes, we can't shut down a Monday if we don't have the switch tip. And this week, we were told to show up for you. Make sure that you do what God has you to do. Make sure that you can rely on you. Make sure that if ain't nobody else doing nothing for you, you are doing for you. That, you know, that show up for you is so broad. Yes. But, you know, only one person can do the switch tip, and I can't imitate her. Or I can imitate her, but I can't duplicate her. How about that one? Okay? So, make sure that your relationship is right with God so that he can definitely indicate to you exactly what you need to do for you. You know, because a lot of times we don't know. You know, look at the earlier conversation. Would you wait on that inmate? Ooh, that rhymes. Would you wait on that inmate? You know, and a lot of that has to do with kind of pushing you to the side and putting somebody else up first. And is that something God would want you to do? Well, we got to check it out with him. And that way, you know whether you're really doing what you are supposed to do. Okay? Well, we moseyed on down into Tuesday. Let's talk about it. Tuesday, Church Folk Day. And we had our panel of pastors in the house. And we asked the question, should Christians drink alcohol? Oh, another thought-provoking question. We've just been filled with that all week long. Thought-provoking questions. So we went from, would you wait for the inmate to, hey, should you be drinking alcohol if you're a Christian? Well, if you have been around the block like I have, you've heard all of the excuses that people give. You know, well, the Bible don't say we shouldn't drink and all this and all that. And we talked about drinking in moderation. If that's actually possible, if that's even something that God wants you to do, to drink in moderation, who are you trying to make feel good? You or the Lord? Okay, we talked about taking those Bible verses out of context and, you know, kind of customizing them to fit what you would like to do. Yeah, you know how we do. We don't pull out a Bible verse in a minute. We don't know no other Bible verse but the one that's going to protect us from doing, you know, what's the right thing. Yeah. We talked about whether you can really maintain control while you're drinking. Well, the due time pastors were on point. And man, oh man, oh man, we had a testimony in the house. So listen, excellent way to spend a Tuesday. Yes, 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 yes. Okay? So we got to make sure that, you know, we do what God wants us to do. We can't just be doing things all willy-nilly, as they say. Okay? Well, Wednesday rolled around, and it was Wow Wednesday. And we got to talking to our girl Viv, who gave us the socially conscious segment. And, yep, again, we've got another week of the COVID numbers coming down, despite the fact that we didn't took off these masks in some of parts of the United States. And we actually talked about the fact that the homelessness numbers in New York have come down, and that is something to definitely give God thanks for. And unfortunately, she told us about the father and son who found the dead man in the dinosaur statue. Yeah, he went in there to get something and just didn't make it out. So that was our socially conscious segment. And we covered the fact that it was the one-year anniversary of the George Floyd death. And how many things have changed since then? You know, that's a big question. You know, what has changed? What's happened since then? What's different since then? You know, so that's something to think about. You know, that's one of the biggest things that we have ever experienced here in the United States, and was definitely a game changer in the United States. And what's happened since then, for the good and for the bad? Okay, well, our women of worship came through, and we continued that conversation about Christian women and how they should live intentionally. And we talked about intentionally loving and submitting to our husbands. Yes, and we talked about intentionally being a parent. How do we intentionally parent? What are the things we say and do? How we say and do what we say and do? Yeah, it was a really good segment. It was a short period, but man, it was loaded. It was loaded, as the women of worship always do. And we really enjoyed them as we topped off loving one another, intentionally loving one another. And we showed our own brother Al That we loved him. So, you know, we put those words into action. Okay? Well, our Techie Talk Dwayne stopped on by, and he gave us some kind of story about how they tried to hack his computer, his T-Mobile account, and all that kind of stuff. And he gave us a tip on how to get that prevented in our own technological world. So you definitely want to check that out. And, you know, Pastor Charlene, she knows how to get the job done. She slid her Faith Over Fear segment into our tribute to our brother Al. Oh, yeah, as he says. Well, Thursday. Oh, we introduced a new segment on Thursday. Why do we do what we do? And the launch was absolutely fabulous as we talked about and asked the question, why do we say R.I.P., S.I.P., S.I.H., R.I.H.? You don't know what that means? Sleep in peace, rest in peace, sleep in heaven, rest in heaven. Oh, is it biblical? Well, the answer was a resounding no. It's not. And you have got to go back and listen as to hear why. Yeah, ain't nothing in the Bible talking about sleep in peace, rest in peace, sleep in heaven. And that actually, I kind of threw it in a little bit yesterday, but it sparked another question that we're going to ask the next go-round. Okay, and we're going to find out if, you know, the things that we're doing, we have grown accustomed to, regardless of whether we were told to do these things or whether we were we're just following tradition. Doesn't matter. Why do we do what we do? And we need to start exploring this, you know, not just, you know, going along to get along, you know, and doing what everybody else is doing, but being able to actually answer as to why we either do or we don't do some things. So that went absolutely great. And we are featuring another new segment that our Switch Tip Shantice came up with, and that's Pray For Them. And we find, you know, people, or she finds the people in the entertainment, athletic world, someone we all know and love somehow, and we bring them to the table, and the people of God lift them up in prayer. And that's really our job, you know. They don't know what to do. The world doesn't know what to do. The world doesn't know how important prayer is. But guess what? We do. So we're going to, you know, make sure we get that done each week. Just focus on somebody who really could use our prayer. And man, if you're looking at this entertainment world, the athletic world, all of the people who are famous, man, we'll never run out of somebody to pray for, because they sure stay in the limelight for a whole lot of stuff that ain't good. So, you know, just continue to join us. And, you know, we encourage you to pray, you know, for these people as well, you know, not just your mother and your father and your sister and brother, people in your church, but other people could really use your prayer. And again, you know, if you see somebody that you think we should pray for, well, I'm going to give you that text number, 347-285-7777. Send a text over to Shantice and just let him know that you've been thinking and God has put it on your heart to pray for A, B, and C. And, you know, you two dialogue about it and we see what we come up with, okay? You're a part of the family and what you think matters. Well, today is Freestyle Friday. And, oh, man, we are doing exactly what we want to do. And that's giving the men their say and going out with a bang. I'm sure they have something great to bring to the table. I'm sure that we're going to be real excited to hear from them. And you know, we can't wait. We can't wait. You know, we've been going out really well on Fridays to send us into a wonderful weekend. And I'm not expecting for today to be any different. Are you? Me either. So I'm surely looking forward to it. So let me give you this number, 516-387-1358. Again, that number is 516-387-1358. Give us a call. Join the conversation. Okay? And again, that text number is 347-285-7777. Excuse me. And, you know, if you don't want to talk, that's okay. It's okay. Just text us. Let us know what you're thinking. Join the conversation that way. We've had a lot of activity this week, and that's a good thing, because that means that we're stirring up thought. That means that we're, you know, giving you something to think about, and you're commenting, and you're letting us know that you're out there. And that's really, really important to us. You know, we love to talk to one another, but we want to talk to you, and we want you to talk back. So please do not hesitate to send in your comments, all righty? So we're getting ready to take that break. But before we do so, I want to remind you to get that healthy breakfast. I want to remind you that that two cans of sardines and pomegranate juice, 100% pomegranate juice, grapes, yes, man, the health information that's been filtering through has been phenomenal. So I want to remind you that those are healthy breakfast items. So don't hesitate to get it. And I got to tell you, so many people have been texting me and calling me and letting me know, hey, I went to the store and I got that pomegranate juice. This is how much it costs. I went, somebody called me last night. I got a couple of texts. Hey, I went to get some grapes. Yeah, this is great. This is really great that we could just have these conversations, and everybody wants to eat healthy, eat better. Because, listen, we got to be around to do God's work. We can't be dying off from our own, you know, killing ourselves. Let's put it like that, okay? We got to, you know, show God that we appreciate him and appreciate this thing called health and appreciate this temple he's given us. So go get that healthy breakfast. And see, all those things are something that you can get within 30 to 60 seconds, because that's all we're going to give you as a break time, okay? And make sure as you grabbing them grapes with one hand that you're texting a friend, you know, with another, with the other hand. Yeah, you could do both. You always do two things at the same time. So make sure you get those two things done, okay? All right. Well, remember, don't move your seat. We'll be right back.
Did you know there are numbers that can change your life? Blood pressure is known as the silent killer. You may not have symptoms, but it could still lead to deadly consequences like heart attack and stroke. Check your blood pressure regularly and know your numbers. Normal blood pressure is less than 120 over 80. Healthy habits like regular exercise, a good diet, and not smoking can help lower your blood pressure and protect your heart. Learn more about how you can check, change, and control your blood pressure at heart.org/HBP.
Well, good morning to you again. You're on with It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And, yes, it is National High Blood Pressure Awareness Month. You know, I've been trying, I don't know if you've been noticing, you know, that I've been trying to focus on our little ads and things like that on the awareness calendar. And yeah, we've been focusing on some things. We've been talking about this month was, or is, I should say, stroke. Yeah, National Stroke Awareness Month, as well as High Blood Pressure Month, as well as Hepatitis Awareness. Yeah. Nah. So I'm glad you're here to join me so we can learn together. And it's Freestyle Friday over here on the Due Time with Pastor Steph. And we're about, you know, awakening ourselves to getting better health and doing the things that we can do. See, it is one thing when it's out of our control. It's another thing when it's in our control. So, yeah, you know, God is really moving this broadcast up a little bit where we got to start thinking. Okay? So, go get those pens because I got some information for you. Yeah. Ready? All right, I'll give you a second. Okay, this is going to be a little different awareness today, and I'm kind of excited. When I came across this earlier during the week, I was like, oh, I got something for them. So get them pens. Get those papers together, and we're going to talk about bad but common shower habits. I was like, yo, this is crazy. Yeah. Bad shower habits, but the things that we do all the time. Well, guess what it starts off telling us? That you, number one, bad habit, bad shower habit, number one, it says you don't need to shower every day. Oh, where were you when I was raising my girls? Oh, my goodness, man. Talk about a dangerous water bill. All these fish that I have raised. Oh, my goodness gracious. Yes, they say showering more makes you cleaner, right? Nope. They say an infectious disease expert says that showering every day could actually make you sick. Over-showering dries out the skin by ripping away natural oils and bacteria, and that they easily slip into those tiny cracks to prevent disease. Washing your hands is more adequate. She says that she believes most people overbathe, and your body is a naturally well-oiled machine. A daily shower is not necessary. They say if you want to shower daily, lather your armpits and groin, but avoid the rest. Over-soaping your body will dry it out. Ooh, baby. I don't know if you want to tell that to everybody. Woo! I think we all know somebody we will not share that piece of information with, okay, for one reason or another. Number two, bad shower habits. They say don't rub dry, okay? When you get out of the shower, they say drying your body should be more of a padding process. You know, as we rub ourselves really quickly, it aggravates our skin and will dry it out, okay? When you step out the shower, don't scrub, rub, or wipe yourself dry. Just take your towel, again, pat it dry, and doing so will keep the moisture on your skin without irritating it, okay? And they say the same thing goes for your hair. If you dry your hair in a rush, they say the fragile strands, could break off. Okay? Number three. Now, this here, now I only saw the first three. and I just didn't go any further. So I don't know if it's 12, I don't know if it's 4, but I know I did stick a pin in this one. For all of us who own a home, the one thing I have always fought about, how long is too long? Oh, my goodness. They would just kill me. Oh, they just kill me. Oh, they forget that I pay for water here. We do not live in an apartment building that is covering the water bill. I have to pay for every ounce of skin you wash. Oh, my goodness. They say, do not take long showers. They say the longer the shower, the more your skin will suffer, because the cells that defend your skin are the same that produce your skin's oil. So, you know, as you're washing, and if you go at it for too long, it will actually irritate your skin, making you feel itchy and dry. And they say that an ideal shower lasts between 5 and 15 minutes. Listen, let me tell you something. If you're paying a water bill, you better not be standing there for no 15 minutes. 5 minutes. I always say, listen, okay, somebody help me out. Listen, 347-285-7777 before we get to the men. Okay, I got a question. We're going to stick a pin right there. Don't you know your body parts? Why does it take you 15 minutes to bathe? Why? Somebody, come on, somebody. Y'all got to help me out with this one. Y'all got to help me out with this. This is Friday. It's Freestyle Friday. I get to do exactly what I want to do. And my question for today is, why does it take you so long to take a shower? Don't you know where your body parts are? You're bathing now at 20. For 20 years, your body has been bathed. Now, it started off with your parents or your grandma or somebody was bathing you. And by the time about 10, 11, 12, you know, you started bathing your own self. And maybe earlier than that. So you mean to tell me between the age of 9 and 20, you can't figure out where your body parts are? And if you're showering every day, why is it such a long process? Please, somebody help me out. I need homeowners to tell me, 347-285-7777, what is the average time in your home to take a shower? And when do you start yelling about the water bill? Because... I tell you, I got my ear to the wall. You know, I'm looking, and you know, now that I reside, you know, in the basement part of the house, you know, I don't get to see what they do on the second level of the house, and I hardly get to see what they do on the first level of the house. But if you're showering every day, what's up with that? Come on, Shantice. Make sure you deliver those comments. I want those comments. 347-285-7777. How long is too long according to you, especially if you're paying that water bill? Okay? All righty. So they say, going back to what they say, the longer the shower, the more you damage your skin. Okay? All right. What else are they saying? Was that number 3? Okay. Yes. Number 4. Bad shower habits. They say it's the worst place to wash your face. Yes. Yeah, you might save some time washing your face in the shower, but they say the showers are too hot, too pressurized, and just too much water. Woo! Finally, somebody's agreeing with me. Too much water. Okay. They say the skin on our face will dry out if it's in water too long. Facial skin is more sensitive than body skin, okay? They say the showers are hot enough to aggravate the skin as well, and overly hot water can dilate blood vessels or even break them. Okay. They say if you turn down the temperature and pressure, you can wash your face in the shower. I say if I'm paying the water bill, why you gotta wash your face in the shower? Why you need all that water to wash your face? Yes! I'm talking about this today. It's Freestyle Friday. I get to do whatever I want to do, and I'm mad now. Because then it made me think about all the thousands of dollars I done spent bathing them. You know, my mother said a few years ago that a couple of doors down from us, there's a fire hydrant. Maybe they should take a shower out there. Yeah. And if I didn't pay that water bill, they would be taking a shower out there. Well, I think that whether I pay the water bill or not, they need to be at the fire hydrant. Yes, 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 Pastor Steph is saying so. Okay. Well, number five, bad shower habits. Keep body wash off your face. Ah, come on now. Keep body wash off your face. Are some of you putting body wash on your face? Okay. Well, they say your facial skin is thinner and more tender, as we just got finished going over. And body soap can throw off the pH of your skin. And its harsh oils can also deteriorate all of your skin's essential, natural oils, okay? So, don't put that body wash on your face. They say aim for a fragrance-free cleanser, since artificial scents may bother your skin, okay? All right. Moisturize your skin afterwards. That's what they're saying. Okay. Ah, bad shower habits. Next one. Squeaky clean. Not the way to go. Okay. They say if your skin feels squeaky clean, you're likely overwashing it. They say that this could create dry, flaky, red, and rashy skin. After all, overwashing strips the skin's protective oils. Okay? They say also be very careful when you're using acne cleansers. Be very, very careful when you're using that, because that can be more harmful overall than something that's helpful. Okay? Ooh, baby, something that I do. And, you know, maybe we spend a couple of extra dollars. But they say, next one, bad shower habit. They say you need to clean your washcloth. Ooh, when was the last time your washcloth was washed? Oh, they say, has it been more than a couple of weeks? If so, you'll want to take and wash that washcloth, and they say your loofahs and washcloth get dirty quickly, and the dead skin cells stick to washcloths, your loofahs and your sponges, and they host bacteria. And they said, you know, wash your washcloth once a week, okay? Well, here's what I do each day. There's a soap that I use. It's like a detergent soap, and it's good for your skin. And each time I use my washcloth, I wash out the washcloth. Yes, I literally wash the washcloth. I don't just keep, you know, continue to use it. And I see that I feel the difference even in the washcloth itself. Not only that, go ahead and invest. Here's my suggestion. You know, we're not short of a washcloth in this house. Well, with all the bathing going on, we're going to need a few extra washcloths. But go ahead and invest in some washcloths. Just use them. Use one a day. You know, you only got 7 days in a week. How often do you do your laundry? Use it a couple of days. So, you know, make sure you don't forget to wash your washcloth or use them too long. They say that it's recommended using diluted bleach in safe quantities. Well, like I said, I have a detergent soap that I use, and, you know, I get away from that. Ah, bad shower habit. Don't wash your hair every day. Well, I'm not going into this one because this is for the people on the other side of the track. You know, we don't get, listen, as much as we pay to get our hair done, you know, ain't nobody washing that out, okay? So we're going to skip over that one, okay? They say number, the next one, I don't know what we're up to, and it's not just keep up. The next bad shower habit, they say enjoy a blast of cold water, okay? They say cold showers can strengthen the immune system. And people who took cold showers were 29% less likely to get sick. All righty. And the participants only turned on the shower cold for 30 to 90 seconds. So I guess cold is as cold does. You know, some people can take it. Some people can't. And, you know, I guess if you can't use cold water, use cool water. Okay. All righty, what's next? Oh, they say wash your feet while you're in the shower. Now, who washes their feet after they come out the shower? But I guess there's some people that do it. They say so I'm getting a little better clarity now. Don't just let the dripping soap hit your feet. They say actually wash your feet. You know, I guess they figure, you know, some people go in and they, so who uses the shower and don't use a washcloth also? We're going to come back to that one. Yeah, but make sure you actually wash your feet. They say your feet, they're covered with bacteria, and it will cause foot odor, and you want to get rid of all that bacteria, and the only way to do that is to really literally wash your feet. Okay, they say exfoliate your feet with a sponge or washcloth or loofah and get rid of all of the bacteria. It'll keep out staph infections, warts, and athlete's feet. Okay. Oh, they say don't leave your razor in the shower. They say just like the washcloth, bacteria gathers in the shower, and so do razors. They say by storing your razor in the shower, you're increasing the frequency in which you'll need to change your blade. So find another way. They say to prevent that, dry your razor off after you use them. Store them in an upright position outside of the shower, and they'll last longer and won't harm your skin. Okay. All righty. Oh, next one. Bad shower habit. They say don't wrap your hair in a towel. Wow. They say that wrapping your hair in a towel can actually damage it because your hair is fragile when it's wet. And if you do it incorrectly, the hair wraps and tugs on the hairs and breaks them. In order to really properly dry your hair, they say don't twist the towel tight. They say just pat your hair dry. Okay? Pat your hair dry. All righty. Bad habit. We're not washing the towels enough. They say make sure you wash your towels more often, pretty much for the same reason why we talked about, you know, the washcloth. And bacteria. It holds mold, yeast, and bacteria. Okay? So make sure you keep those towels, you know, dry. Listen, towels are not expensive. 3 for $5, you know, sometimes you can find them 4 for $10, you know. So listen, it's not a bad dollar spent. You spend your money, you know, in all those other kind of ways. All right. Bad shower habit. They say get rid of the soap dish. Woo! It's so germ infected, they say, and that's one of the worst things you could do. They say that all that slime that's sitting in your soap dish carries such a heavy level of bacteria. Okay? So you're kind of working against yourself with the soap dish. Okay? Let's see if we got something else. Yeah. All right. They say replace your shower head. Bad shower habit. Replace the shower head. Okay? They say plastic shower heads are worse than metal ones. So if you got a shower head that's plastic, you definitely want to make sure you change that on a regular basis. They say that it definitely, again, there we go with that bacteria. Okay? They say that plastic shower heads build up biofilm more than metal, and that's what, you know, helps to gather the bacteria. Okay? Make sure you change it on a regular basis. And I've seen quite a few advisories that say that we need to take a plastic bag with vinegar in it, tie it up on our shower head, and let it sit. Okay, take it off, and it has cleared off a lot of that bacteria, if not all of it. All right, so I'm throwing that in. Okay, bad shower habit. Don't over exfoliate. Yeah, some people exfoliate every day, but this can damage your skin or irritate your skin. And it's fine to exfoliate, but do it, you know, on a, you know, not so regular basis. And some exfoliants are more harsh than others. And if your skin is red, peeling, or burning, that's a sign of over-exfoliating. Okay? All right. Oh, here's another one that I like. Helps me with a dollar. They say turn down the temperature. You know, some people like really, really hot showers. And they say it's not healthy for your skin. And hot water strips the natural oils off your body. And you can't really replace those oils. So even though, you know, you're putting, you know, oil on your skin and things like that, it's not the natural skin oil. So, you know, once it's damaged, you're kind of damaging yourself for good, in a sense, they're saying. And I say a dollar because for those of us who pay a gas bill, yeah, the higher you run your water, the more your gas bill goes up. So imagine these kids taking a long, hot shower. It's killing me across the board. So I got to find out from Shanti, did I get any feedback from those homeowners? Okay. Bad shower habit. They say you need to moisturize immediately to get the best bang for your moisturizing. Okay? They say despite, you know, feeling wet, your skin needs that moisturizing as soon as possible. Remember, we're doing several things that strip the skin, and you need to get that stuff back in while your pores are open. So they say the best thing you can do is use an unscented lotion to keep your skin hydrated for a longer length of time. Bad habit. Bad shower habit. Don't leave your loofah hanging. Well, needless to say, that's going to be a bacteria drawing practice. And you definitely don't want E. coli to be jumping onto your loofah, okay? So they say dry the loofah, your washcloth, and hang them outside of the shower, okay? All righty. They say avoid the loofah after you shave. That's another bad shower habit. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Did we think we had so many shower habits that were bad? Again, you know, the shaving opens up your skin, and you got that bacteria-ridden loofah, and you put it on your face. So now your skin is absorbing all that bacteria, okay? Clean your bathtub on a regular basis. Another bad shower habit. We're not cleaning these bathtubs. Oh, you're not cleaning bathtubs, because we sure do. Okay, let me tell you what I do. I squirt bleach. Yes, I do. Straight bleach through my shower. I have a shower stall, and I just squirt, 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 squirt the bleach, and you should see stuff just dissipate. Yep. So, they say make sure you do that. You clean it because it holds E. coli and other bacteria, and it adds to the mold growth. So they say every 2 weeks, disinfect your shower, and after cleaning the shower, make sure you leave the curtains or the door open because you need that air to get through there, okay? So there's a few more, but we're going to stop there because we want to let our men talk. We're not going to talk about how dirty they are and how unclean they are, possibly. So, come on. You got those. We're going to continue this on Monday. We're going to definitely continue this on Monday, and we're going to see what else we can add to this bad shower habit list. Okay? So, make sure you tell your peoples. Make sure you tell your people about what you've learned, okay? Let's say good morning to our Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
I am well, thank you, Pastor KL. I'm well, thank you. How are you today?
Man, I took a long 2-hour shower, and I feel great.
All righty, but what else are you feeling good about that later will be harmful to your body? I mean, are any of those, on a serious note, are there any of those things that you just became aware of that is really a practice that either you don't do that you should or that you do and you need to stop?
Not really. The only thing that really got me is that you can wash your face in the shower. That's really what opened my eyes. But for the most part, you know, my wife is in the health area. So all that other stuff, yeah, she ain't playing those games.
Okay. And let me ask you something. You pay a water bill?
No, my wife pays it.
You know,
that's her bill. That's her bill. and like you, she's always fussing about how long you gonna stay in that shower. Well, I try to explain to my wife. Listen, my wife is a size 2. I'm a size 52. So
you know
I got
what?
A little bit more creases. I got a little bit more creases to work with. I've
you
learned that I have
what?
Breasts, so I have to get under the breast. You know, I mean, I can't stay in there for 2 seconds. I got a lot to work with, if you understand what I'm saying.
You know what? Lose some weight, and it'll bring that shower money down.
Listen,
why should I
no
have to pay more
tells,
money because you want to take
no
a long shower
tells,
to get all creases?
Okay. No one puts the whale on a diet. He just lives. Okay.
Well, we're going to put that well on a diet to save me a dime because I can't afford for you to be taking no long shower to cover every nook and cranny of your body. No, or better yet, here's what I always suggest. Get in the shower, wet yourself, turn it off, lather up, and then turn it back on and rinse yourself off.
Ain't nobody
why can't you
got
do that?
Time for that.
See, you know why? Because it ain't your bill. If it were your bill, it would be a definite, definite different regimen.
Listen, we ain't going in the car wash when you lather up first and then you rinse up. We ain't doing that. No, ma'am.
You
now,
know
now,
what?
Now, the power bill is mine. I don't tell my wife turn off the TV when the commercial come on. She watches TV all night.
Well, see, that's the difference between me and you. I be Shanti has a habit. She's listening to, or not just her, but the other girls. They listening to music, TV running. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. How many things you, this multitasking is costing me? Figure out what piques your interest a little more. So, no. Lose some weight. It costs me less money. And, you know, we all going to be happy.
You knew I was fat when you married me and we would have a water bill problem. I didn't just get fat. You know what I mean?
Oh,
when I said I do,
gracious.
That means I do eat.
You know what? I can't. I don't care what your joke. Oh, excuse me. Have you seen what you're doing to me when you talk about this water, this high water bill? Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, listen, let me get to this other homeowner and see what he says. I bet you Brother Al got some protocols set up in his house.
Well, he already taking toilet seat. He already taking toilet seat, so you can't sit down for too long.
Oh, my goodness. Let's see what he got to say.
One flush.
Good morning, Brother Al.
You know, I don't appreciate that. I don't appreciate it, Brother K.L. I don't appreciate it at all. But chop, chop on the morning.
Oh,
chop, chop on the Friday morning. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, listen. First of all, let's discuss the shower habits. Any of those habits you're guilty of?
Not too much of them, but I did learn some stuff. Like, I didn't know that you can overwash your skin. I didn't know that I don't have no hair, so don't refer to me. But you know, when I'm listening about how the hair is weak and it damaged with the towel and stuff. So those are some things that I didn't know.
Okay. So we had a lesson today. So listen.
Oh, yeah.
How long is too long in the shower?
5 minutes is too long. Get in and get out. See, I'm with you, Pastor. See,
exactly.
when they don't pay water bill, they don't understand. You know,
That's right.
I try to do right when my son that was living with me, right? I go in there and I hit a shower. Okay, of course you're gonna take a shower. I'm cool with that. So I'm here in the shower, run. I'm like, what the boy doing in there? I go in there, the shower running, and he in the room picking out his clothes. Are you serious? Okay, now you got 30 seconds when you get in the shower now, okay? And then I have to do, Pastor Carol called me out on taking the toilet seat. You're going there too long. I'm taking the shower head. Nobody getting nothing. I'll take the shower head. That's the stuff. Go in there and take the shower head. They're easy to take off. Take them.
Oh,
y'all,
no.
Y'all do realize
you know what?
That the water bill is the cheapest bill in the house, right? The water bill
says
is the cheapest bill in the house.
Says who?
No, it's not.
No, man.
Who told you that?
Who lied to you?
Who told him that?
I know somebody
here in Alabama,
lied, Pastor
the
Kale.
Water bill is the cheapest bill. The water bill is
yeah,
the cheapest bill.
Maybe where you live at. Maybe where you live at. But here in New York City, and I'm going to tell you, the most bill comes from flushing the toilet. That's the most bill. One
Wait,
flush.
Brother
That's
Al,
it.
You know why it's the cheapest bill? Because he don't pay it. See, when you pay, he
don't pay it, there you go.
There
you go, because he don't pay
it. It's the cheapest bill. Well, who are you trying to fool? Stop lying to these people telling they're going out and they're getting a home. And then let me tell you, and this is a serious thing here. Brother Al, you're in Brooklyn. I'm in Queens. Do you know that out of the five boroughs, Queens is the only borough that adds a sewer 159% bill on top of your usage. So if we only spent $100 that quarter, we're not paying $100 like you. We're paying $100 plus 159% of that $100 added, and that's our bill.
Wow.
So, no,
yo,
this ain't
crazy.
No cheapest bill in the house. What's the matter
exactly.
with you?
So, Pastor Steph, what you got to do is take it back to the older days and put an outhouse outside, okay? Dig a big giant hole down in the ground, put it outside. Y'all go outside. You know, y'all want to use the bill like you crazy. We got to make some adjustments here.
Okay.
Man.
Oh, no, but Brother Al, had I gone and checked out the shower and they were picking clothes, I would have died.
Oh, you should have saw me. I'm like, are you saying? I'm like, you live with dad. What's the problem? I said, because you ain't paying it. That's what the problem is. Why you got the shower running and you in there picking out clothes? You know, I'm turning the shower off. Now, matter of fact, you ain't even getting the shower. You got to wash up at the sink now. You used your time.
A brother can't
you
even
used your time. That's right.
Listen, they would have been picking out clothes and they would have been picking me up off the floor because I would have passed out.
Hey, Pastor Steph, look, I'm working on something, right? Now, we're gonna make this money. I'm working on a patent, and I want you to be down with me because you're a homeowner. I'm working on this thing where you could put it over the shower head and put a lock on it. That way, you can't do nothing. Y'all want to run a water bill? Wait till I put this lock on it. You do nothing.
Where were you when I was raising these girls, man? Forget about the lock on the refrigerator. Eat yourself into oblivion. Turn that water down. That's all.
Now, you know, Pastor Steph, now you know what people don't understand. When they hear water bill, they think of just a shower. It's not just a shower. You're talking about the shower.
It's not.
You're talking about the toilet.
Flushing
you're talking
the
about
toilet.
The water that goes in your water heater because you got
water
got to feed to your boiler. That's
running.
Right. And the water is heating when you got hot water. So you got all that
That's
together.
Right.
So when people hear
That's
water
right.
bill, they think just shower. It's not just the shower.
No. And not only that,
it's
Brother
not just
Al,
the
remember now, if you have a boiler that's gas-driven, remember, water
right,
has to feed the
mine.
Boiler, so that's another dollar to stay hot, to stay warm in the house. It's costing us more money.
Yes.
So I say, let them stay
yes.
cold and dirty, and we'll be rich.
There you go. I got a water hose in the back. Let's make this happen.
Shanties, they just cheap, Shanties. They cheap.
Listen, call me what you want, but I
exactly.
have a dollar in my pocket. I don't care what you
fact,
call me.
Matter of fact, Pastor Steph, call me Mr. Cheap. Respect
right.
my name.
Put a
Mr.
handle
Mrs.
on that
Cheap,
thing.
Call us that.
That's right. Give me some respect. Oh, my goodness. Well, let's see what Minister AJ says. He was raised in a home. Minister AJ, good morning.
Good morning, yiggity-yang,
guys. Good, yiggity-yang. How's that? How many bad shower habits you got going on?
D, all of the above.
All right, so listen. Being raised in a home, what did Dad say about that water bill?
Oh, Dad didn't say anything about the water bill, because we shower when he's not home.
Whoa! Wow!
And then we save our money so we get houses. You know, we already got our water bill money up front. That's what we do.
You know what? I'm done. Bathe before when Dad's not home, so you don't have to hear him aching over the shower bill or how much you using at the present moment. Oh, that's pretty crafty. Pretty crafty. Oh, my goodness.
It ain't going to work. Well, you know when you see the price of the bill.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that's why they were saving their dollars. I guess
exactly.
that's why they were saving them dollars. Woo! Gentlemen. Gentlemen, we are now working towards our conversation, and I need to take a quick pause. Thank you. And, you know, this was a conversation that we were going to have last week, but it got a little delayed because we talked about something else. So we're going to talk about ways to be a more godly man. And we're not going to talk about the water bill, you know, us, you know, you men barking over the water bill. You are still a godly man if you bark over the water bill. So I just want to put that, you know, put that out there. You're still a godly man if you do other things, Brother Al. All right?
Thank you, thank you.
So, they say that in order to be considered a godly man, you have to delight in the law of the Lord. What do you say, Pastor K.O.?
Yes. I mean, that is definitely, you have to delight in the law of the Lord. You know, a lot of folks think that the law has been done with. There's no more law. But yeah, you still have to obey. You know, you have to obey those who have ruling over you. You know, you have to obey the commandments. There's still rules that you have to follow. You know, I mean, and any way you go, in order to succeed or in order to get to the next level, you have to follow rules. You have to follow the law.
Okay. Brother Al, you have to love the law of the Lord. You know, how this really distinguishes whether you are a godly man or not.
Yes, indeed. You definitely have to follow those rules and those laws. You know, it's so amazing that you got people there. They'll break their neck to follow the law of the land of this world, but won't follow God's law. You know, and even though sometimes it's hard to do, you know, it's something we struggle with, but we know what the outcome is going to be, you know, with you following God's law. You know, so that I think, well, for me, speaking for me, that would push me further. Like, okay, I know I might not want to do this one, you know, but you know what? I know what the outcome going to be because he keeps his promises.
All right. Minister AJ, we're talking about loving the law of the Lord. Let me make sure I'm saying that clearly. Law of the Lord. Okay, and that really determines whether we are, you know, whether you are a godly man or not.
It's true. A man's delight is supposed to be in the law of the Lord, and we're supposed to meditate in it day and night to be that tree that's planted like a water. You, by the water that shall not be removed, you have to have your delight in the law. You don't know how to be a man without the law, period. Not a real man.
I like that. All right. Excuse me. Brother Al, we're talking about being a godly man, and it said that you have to be full of compassion to be a godly man.
Oh, yes. You got to have that compassion. You know, how could you not and follow God's word and his law? And how can you lead your family if you don't have compassion? You're going to be faced with certain situations that you're going to have that compassion and you know, to soothe that person, to help that person get through it. So you definitely got to have that.
All righty. Minister AJ, full of compassion. That's going to determine whether you're a godly man or not.
Absolutely. Using Jesus as an example, no greater friend, you know, do we have than Jesus, a man that'll lay his life down, even for sinners, people who he has yet not even really come in contact with. Also with loving kindness, have I joined thee? We think a lot of times, you know, flexing as a man, you know, following our ego and putting our foot down, that's what's going to get, you know, our families drawn closer to us. But it's those loving kindness moments where, loving kindness moments where, you know, they know that you should be you know, beating them or almost taking their head off, but you're right there loving them through it. That's when it gets your family and friends, you know, close to you. When they know that you could be judging them, but you're right there loving them. So you got to have that compassion. Mm.
All right. Pastor KL, you know, to be a godly man, you have to be full of compassion.
Yeah, you have to love them in spite of them, you know, in spite of what they're doing. You know, sometimes you see your children and you know they're doing the wrong thing, or they're going to be going down the wrong way, but you still have to love them. You still have to deal with them. You still have to be compassionate for them, you know, saying, you know, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, so you have to be compassionate. You know, Jesus went back just for the one. You know, so yeah, you have to be compassionate.
Okay. Minister AJ, it's said that in order to be a godly man, you have to be righteous.
That's everything. If you know how to be righteous, you know how to lead as a man. You know, if you don't know righteousness or how to be righteous, you don't really know how to lead as a man, because you won't know his law, so you won't even know how to respond to people or to lead people without righteousness. Sanctification, a process in which God changes the mind of a believer and slowly, gradually leads him to a place of perfection. That's righteousness. You know, going through the process. You know, I relate that to righteousness. You know, you'll take the good with the bad, and you allow all of that to work together for your good. And you can't do it without being righteous, period. You know, that most people that try to do it without righteousness are the ones who abort the process. So they don't get the right nutrients that they need from God to live a holy life and to lead their families. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay.
Preach, brother.
You're talking about being righteous. Equates to being a godly man, being righteous.
Yeah, I echo what Minister AJ says. You have to be right. And there's a process in being righteous. You know, it says righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. You know, there's a process, and it doesn't come overnight. You know, just like manhood does not come overnight. You know, there's things that you have to go through. There's things that you have to see in order to elevate you. But you have to be righteous, you know, in order to even start the transition, in order to even start the process, you know, and it is a process. You know, we don't just wake up and become righteous, you know, so there is a process, and it's not always an easy process, but righteousness is definitely a strong entity in being a godly man.
Okay. Brother Al, righteousness.
Oh, yeah.
Godly man, what say you?
Absolutely. You have to be righteous. If you're not righteous, you can't guide your children. You can't run your household. You can't be head of your household. You know, you can't make your family happy. All that come into play. You have to be righteous. I mean, you're just seeking to do the right things, you know, do the right things, teach the right thing. And, you know, and again, that's something that makes God happy. So if you don't have that or do that, then you're going to be in a lot of trouble.
All right. Okay. Another way to be a godly man is to trust in the Lord. Pastor KL, trusting in the Lord. It's a component.
That is the top component. I mean, we have to trust in God. You know, it talks about faith is a thing that we can't even see. We don't even understand. But we have to trust that if God said he's going to do it, it shall come to pass. You know, so we have to trust God. You know, he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. He'd be with us even until the end. So these things are promises. So if we stand on God's promises, that means we trust in what he's saying, You know, I never the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread, which means that I won't be hungry. I trust God that in spite of what I see in my refrigerator, in spite of what I see on the water bill, that the water is not going to go off because God said that he'll supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. So I have to start off this whole thing by trusting God. Even though I can't see it, I have to believe that it's going to manifest.
All right, all right. Brother Al, a godly man trusts in the Lord.
Ooh, come on, Pastor K. I hear you, baby. I hear you. Oh, man, yes, trust, trust. Top of the list, trust. Who better to trust? You know, God never said, he said he would never forsake you. You know, he keeps his promise. He's the only person I know that keeps his promises. He never go back on his word or his promises. And once you've got that trust, once you got that full trust, you're comfortable. You live better. You live without worry. So you definitely have to trust. It's a beautiful thing.
Okay, okay. Minister AJ, trust in the Lord. Godly man, trust in the Lord.
Trust in the Lord. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I'm going to give you the word that God gave me yesterday. We see too much. We watch too much. We focus too much on eyesight. We walk by faith and not by sight. I don't have to see how God's going to do it to believe it. My trust is in him. And even when it looks like it's not going to happen, my trust is in God. Fully accepting in the heavens. My fully acceptance is in heaven. You know what? I just broke down the word faith. Fully acceptance in the heaven. I accept whatever God's going to do. I accept whatever God's going to do. My faith is in God.
Say it well. Say it well.
Say it again. Give us the acronym for faith again.
Oh, I got to make sure I spelled it right. Fully acceptance. Fully acceptance in the heaven. You know, my
wow.
acceptance of whatever's going to happen is in the heaven. It's not in man. It's not in me. It's in the heavens. It's where God dwells. There it is.
All right, all right, all right. Brother Al, a godly man gives to the poor. Ooh.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely, you know. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper? You take care of your brother, you know. You never know when you be down and you need to help. You feel better when you take care of your brother, you know, your brother in Christ, you know. Take care of him. Feed him. Feed him. Feed him. Feed him with food. Feed him with the word. You know, whatever God laid on your heart to do, but feed him.
All right, all right. Come on, Minister AJ, we're talking about a godly man gives to the poor.
Well, when you lend to the poor, you lend to God. So if I'm taking care of the poor, I am now taking care of God. And a righteous man and a man of God knows that, you know, you're not the supplier of what you have, but he will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. And it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. In Jesus' name.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor K.L., a godly man gives to the poor.
If you love me, feed my sheep. So therefore, if he entitled you to feed his sheep, you know, the sheep can be the poor. You know, there's no greater love than a man who's laid down his life for a friend. So sometimes, you know, the poor can be a friend. And you have to go up and lift that friend up. Too many times we look at people, we look at the homeless, we look at the people who are less fortunate than us, and instead of helping, we talk about them. You know, instead of helping, we've already decided, like Job, he must have done something wrong to get there. But sometimes you have to go and you have to extend the olive branch. You know, you have to be the one to pick your brother up from the side. Because there, but for the grace of God, goes I. So it could have been me one day, you know, outdoors with no food, with no clothes. But he didn't see fit to let any
Come
of those
now.
Things be. So therefore, if you have it in you, if you have God in you, then you would say to yourself, well, what would Jesus do? Would Jesus just let them lay there? You know, even when the man was at the pool, you know, they say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. You know, rise up and walk. Sometimes just an encouraging word is given to the poor. It's not always about going in your pocket and giving out money. Sometimes just to encourage somebody can get them to the next level, can get them off the ledge of suicide. Sometimes just having a conversation with these folks. So you've got to understand what it means to give to the poor. We keep on thinking that it has to be a financial blessing, but just to stop and smile at somebody, that's giving to the poor.
All right. Minister AJ, a godly man is a praying man. Praise to God on a consistent basis.
Absolutely. You can't do nothing without prayer. Too many of us are trying to lead ourselves, and you can't get good results without being a praying man. You can't lead nothing without being a praying man. And you don't just want to be a praying man, but you want to be an intercessor, because praying begins with you, but intercession begins and ends with God. So you can't do anything without being an intercessor or being one that will hear from God. You can't do anything without prayer.
All right. Pastor KL, you must have a prayer life if you want to be considered a godly man.
Yes, ma'am. You must have a prayer life to do everything in life. You know, to have a family, you have to have a prayer life, because you got to be able to hear from God, you know, because you're only the head of the household if you're following God. How can you follow God if you don't have conversations with him, if you can't hear from him, if there's no prayer life, if there's no connection? We keep on talking about Jesus is on the main line. I beg to differ. He is the main line. It says no one gets to the Father but by me. Therefore, he has to be the main line. So you have to have a prayer life between you and Jesus so that we can tap into whatever he wants us to do. You know, prayer life will help you make better decisions. Prayer life will help you have a stronger marriage. Prayer life will help you have a better relationship with your job. Prayer life will help you have a better relationship with your children. Prayer life is the key. Without prayer, we can't do nothing.
Come on.
Because if you're not praying, you ain't hearing from God. If you ain't hearing from God, then he's not ordering your steps, because you're going astray. So if you don't tap in to the source, listen, if I don't plug in my clock into the wall, it's still a clock, but it's not going to work because there is no power behind it. So I'm still a man, but I'm not a man of God because there is no power behind it. I have to tap in to the source. And the source is prayer.
Amen. All right, Brother Al.
Oh, well. Yes, indeed.
I need a prayer life, man, in order to be considered a godly man.
Well, prayer is the key, and faith unlocks that door. You must open that line of communication. And plus, God loves to hear from you. You know, he loves to hear from us. He loves to hear us prayer, and he already know what we need, but he like to hear from us. They tell him what we need, and just tell him how much we love him, how much we care, and how perceptive we are to hear back from him to guide us. If you don't have prayer, you don't have nothing. It's like one of my brothers say, you're leading yourself, and we know what happened when you lead yourself. Why not be led by somebody with the higher power, the ultimate higher power? Why not be led by him? So you have to pray. You know, you have to pray for people as well. You know, don't be a selfish prayer. Pray for everybody. Pray for your children. Pray for your home. Pray for people on your job. Pray for people you don't want to pray for. You know, but you need to open up that line of communication. It makes your life much better.
All right. Pastor KL, we're talking about being a godly man. And this is something that you and I talk about consistently. And a godly man needs to know the word of God.
Thy word that I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Listen, no matter what situation you are going through in life, there is always a passage of scripture that can get you out of your situation or that can relate to your situation. If you don't know the word, you don't know the direction from God. You don't know how to handle things. You know, if you're not strong in the word, you can be run amok. You can be led astray. There are people who will stand out on the corner of different sectors and different religions, and they will come out and they will speak fluently and confidentially that will make you believe that your own Bible does not exist. But if you know the word, if you study to show thyself approved, can't nobody separate you from the love of God? What shall separate me from the love of God? Nothing if you're flat-footed in your word. You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. Your leaves shall not wither, but whatsoever you do, it shall prosper. But you have to know the word in order to stand flat-footed, in order to come up against the enemy. When you don't know your word, the enemy knows you don't know your word. It's not a secret. It's not a secret. You know, when you just know two scriptures, he knows you just know two scriptures. And he's going to come straight away from them two scriptures and come with something else. And guess what? Those two scriptures cannot combat what he's coming with. So you've got to put on the whole armor of God, not just the breastplate, not just the helmet, but the whole armor of God in order to be protected. In order to do that, you got to know, you got to eat the whole scroll. You got to eat the whole loaf. You can't just take a slice at a time. You've got to know the word, the bread of life.
Come on, Brother Al. No, you want to be considered a godly man, you got to know the word of God.
Yes, yes. You have to know that word, instructions. This is what the Bible stands for. Basic instruction before leaving earth. So you have to know that word. The word help you. And I'm learning that as myself, as I'm taking this walk, as learning the word. And like my brother, Pastor Kale said, everything you're going through or anything that's happening to you, you can find a scripture about it in the Bible, which is amazing to me, which is absolutely amazing that you just going through this. And I can go in the Bible and find a scripture that referred to that. And it tells you how to handle it, what to do to handle it, what's the right way to handle it. So you have to know that word. And knowing that word, you get full. You get full. And when somebody else is going through a situation, you can share that word with them as well.
Yeah,
where did you get that? I got it from blank, blank, blank. And this is what it says to do. Read it for yourself. Understand it. So it's definitely something that you got to do. You got to know that word.
Amen. Pastor KL, put your phone on mute. Pastor KL, put your phone on mute. All righty. Minister AJ, we're talking about knowing the word of God if you want to be considered a godly man.
Absolutely. Pastor Kale got the ball started when he said, that word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And the Bible also says, when lust has been conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. So if I don't know the word, I don't know how to avoid death. The Bible also says, submit yourself unto God and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Again, if you don't know how to submit to God, you can't get the devil away from you. Let's go back to the last one. The Bible says, praying without ceasing. If you don't pray, you will cease. How do you know how to conquer anything without the word of God?
All right. Brother Al, we're talking about being a godly man. And in order to do that, you have to be an accountable man. Accountability is the key. What say you?
Yes, that's another good one. You know, we have to be held accountable for what we do. and understand, whether you be hold yourself accountable, you will be accountable regardless. So you need to be accountable for what you do. If you did something or you say something, take that accountability instead of pointing the finger, well, this person made me do this. This person took me there. No, you know better and you did it. So take accountability and say, okay, you know what? How can I fix this now? Okay, that was my bad. I'm wrong. How can I fix that? So you have to take accountability. I do that with my kids that I work with. You know, you held accountable for what you did. Oh, but he was talking first. I don't care. You are the one in trouble. You're the one that got to hold your accountability against it. So that's very important as well.
All right. Minister AJ, accountability is the key to being a godly man.
Absolutely. You can't do nothing without being accountable. The Bible says to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than your sacrifice. So don't come in the name of sacrifice, you know, and there's no accountability. You got to be able to take accountability for what you've done. We don't want to be the Ananias and Sapphira generation. We don't want to be lying because there's consequences to you not being accountable. We don't want God to just, you know, take us from the place of where we're at, strip our gifts from us because we're not accountable. We don't want to turn into a pillar of salt because we're not accountable. There are consequences to you not being accountable to your actions. You can't excel not being accountable.
All right. Ooh. You know, I agree with you, Minister AJ.
And that's why the Bible says if you don't even take care of your children, if you're not accountable to your children, you are worse than an infidel.
All right. Come on, Pastor KL. We're talking about being an accountable individual. Accountability is the key to being a godly man.
It definitely is. And when we say accountable, you know, we all mistake. We all make mistakes. But you got to own up to some of these things. You don't even realize that while your book is being written, people are reading it. So people are reading you every day. They want to see what the next chapter of your life is. You know, because they heard that you was a godly man. They heard you was a preacher. They heard you was a minister. So now they're reading your book to see how you got here. And when you don't become accountable or when you don't own up to things, that's part of your book. That's part of your legacy. And it can either draw or drive people away. So you got to be accountable. Your sons are watching you. Your daughters are watching you. Your wife is watching you on what type of decisions you make, whether they be reckless, whether they be good for the family. You've got to be accountable with all that you do. In order to be a godly man, you've got to say, yes, it was me. You know, I did it. I didn't do it. And live with it. You know, and if you got to repent, then repent. But you have to first be, before you can repent, or before you can say, I'm sorry, you have to own up to it and be accountable for whatever it was.
All right. The key today is being a godly man. What are the components of a godly man? And we're talking about walking in your personal ministry. You got to be a godly man. The only way you're going to be able to do that is to walk in your personal ministry. Come on, Minister AJ.
That's everything. Jesus himself, even though he's the Son of God, had to spend time with the Father alone to be able to do ministry properly. And I think a lot of times, you know, even as men, we're so quick to point the finger across the table. But as a man, you got to deal with your personal self, deal with your personal ministry. And I'm just throwing this out there. And that's just like a man. We so quick. We come with a list of what we want our wives to be. When was the last time you said, God, you know, what should I be as a husband? Start with me. Start with the ministry that's inside of me. And also your ministry will also validate who you are. You know, David, that's why I love David so much. Even though, you know, Saul was trying to take his life,
because the ministry that David had inside of him, even people came, you know, wanted him, that Saul was trying to take his life. But it was the personal ministry of David that saved David's life. The fact that he could minister, the fact that he was a praiser. So you have to have that personal ministry. That's what's going to save your lives before you can save anybody else. If you don't have personal ministry inside of you, you are not going to be able to save nobody else, because you won't be able to save yourself.
All right. Pastor KL, in order to be a godly man, you have got to walk in your personal ministry.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. First of all, you have to recognize and you have to ask God, what are you called to do? What is your ministry? There are too many people walking in their desire and not walking in their calling. Mm-hmm. Your desire is not necessarily your ministry. You know, you have to be called. You know, because he that he calls, he qualifies and he justifies. So when you're called and you're qualified, then you know what your ministry is. And at that point, that you have to walk in it, and you have to be committed to it. You know, a lot of times God will call us to things that we never thought we was able to do, so we don't become committed to it. You know, but if God has called you, he's already equipped you. You just have to walk in it. You know, wherever he orders your steps, you just need to follow it. You just need to be consistent with whatever God calls you to do. So first thing I would say is understand what your calling is and not your desire. We have a desire to do so many things, but we're not called to do that. You know, we want to be choir directors and can't sing. We want to be preachers and not called to preach. You know, everybody's not called to a pulpit platform. You know, you can minister on the street. You know, but we want the big edifice. We want the big church. But you have to walk in the guidelines of your ministry and allow God to be able to dictate and tell you what it is. Don't walk in your desire.
All right. Brother Al, we're talking about being a godly man, walking in your personal ministry. What is that about to you?
Man, my brother said it all, mouthful, man. But, you know, knowing that personal ministry and allowing God to order your steps. When you accept that personal ministry that God has for you and let him order your steps, you walk in it good. You know, you're walking fine, no limping, no hopping. You walk in just gracefully, like you're walking on air. And by knowing your personal ministry, it'll give you the thing to help other people. You know, to help other people while you going through this walk. It'll come, I won't say it's easy, but it'll come a little more easier. Like Pastor Carol said, God already said, this is what I need you to do. So it's already set for you, and you don't know, you don't believe that you can do it, or why was I called to do this? God already put the plan in order. It's just you accepting it and committing to it, like Pastor Carol said. And once that happened, the steps are ordered, you're on your way.
All right. Ah, let's see. Pastor KL, if you want to be a godly man, you have to be willing to get help. Issues.
Yes.
Get help.
And this is what it is, even with the due time crew. You know, even with Pastor Seth. You know, we don't know it all. You know, it doesn't even have to be a downfall, you know, but just the fact that you don't know it all. And someone has been in the ministry longer than you. Someone has been going through some stuff longer than you. When I was ready to get married, you know, I didn't know what being a husband was. You know, I read about it. I heard about it. But I began to talk to people who was, you know, seasoned in this thing and asked for help. How do I do this? When I got married, It wasn't the storybook that I thought it would be. And I thought within 6 months I was going to get a divorce because I didn't understand it. So I began to talk to people again who were seasoned in this thing, who went through some of this stuff, you know, so that they can talk to me and help me with what I'm going through. Sometimes the pride is what destroys you. Because we have so much pride, we don't want to ask for help. You know, but again, we're supposed to be our brothers and sisters' keeper. It is our job. It is our duty to help. You know, that is our first ministry, the ministry of help. So if you have a true man or woman of God that's on your side or in your vicinity, then it would behoove you not to go out and stretch out and ask for help, because that can be the death or the life of your relationship, of your ministry, of your season.
All right. Brother Al, a godly man asks for help.
Oh, man, that's a great one right there. You know, as my brother said, you know, a lot of people let their pride stand in the way or think they know everything. And you should want to especially speak to someone who's been there, who's done that, who's seasoned, like we would say. You know, and also you got to be careful who you talk to. You know, as I was going through with this walk myself, and me and Pastor Steph, we spoke about this, and I had a minister, and he telling me, oh, don't do this, and you got to stop doing this, and you have to do this way, and this, that. But yet and still, he's out there cheating on his wife. So how can you tell me anything when you're doing something totally opposite? So you also got to watch who you're talking to. And like you said, I love talking to somebody who know much more than I do. I listen to you guys, even here, listening to you guys, I'm learning things. And I'm like, wow, that's some deep stuff. And when you open yourself up to being that person to learn, it opens your door more, because you're willing to listen. You're willing to hear, you know, and just move forward with it. So it's a beautiful thing. You must ask for help if you want to go further. Because like Pastor Kale said, we don't know everything, you know. So it's good to be around people who know more than you do. If you've got a crew of people and you're the smartest person in that crew, something wrong. You need to rethink your crew.
All right. Minister AJ, you know, a godly man seeks help.
Absolutely. We look to the hill from which cometh our help, and the fact we don't just seek it, you know, as a second priority. It's our first priority. You got to seek God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. But I like the way that word hill sounds. Look to the hill from which cometh our help. Now let's take the word hill and break it down. He is lacking life. He is lacking life, or limiting life, however you want to put it. But, and when you're lacking life because you won't ask help, it's not in just one area. You're probably going to lack across the board. You need to ask for help. You need to ask for direction. And don't wait until you get into trouble, you know, but ask, seek God first before you even make decisions as a man. But you've got to look towards the hill from which cometh your help. You know, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You'll save yourself a whole lot of trouble and a whole lot of mistakes if you just ask God for help.
Right. Brother Al, a godly man guides other people. Guides other people,
yes.
Intentionally.
Yes. You know, as you start to become a leader instead of a follower, but you've gotten people in the right way. And yes, it's a hard job. You know, I go through that with even dealing with these children. It's a hard job. But again, when God order your steps, there's nothing too hard. And you want to guide people in this right direction. And which was said earlier, you know, somebody may just need to hear that. You know, even a homeless person, they may just need to hear a word from you saying, okay, look, everything is going to be all right. You need to have more faith and stuff like that. So now what you're doing is guiding this person in the right direction. The guy that live across the street from me, I'm always talking to him. He's a guy that knew nothing about God. He wasn't brought up in the church, and now he's learning how to pray, because I just tell him, listen, brother, just the same way you're talking to me, you talk to God the same way. Tell God what you want. Ask him for help. You know, so you never know the change that you will put in somebody's life by just guiding them. You know, sometimes we keep our mouth closed. You know, I learned a very valuable lesson when I started getting back into this walk. You know, I used to look at people when they told their testimony. And for me, you know, just not knowing, I thought people bragging, or they just want to be seen. Oh, this person want to be seen. They getting up, telling their story, not realizing that your testimony, Your testimony alone will help somebody who may be struggling. Somebody may be saying, I've been praying and I haven't heard nothing from God yet. And here you go stand up telling, hey, this, I've been doing this, this, and this is what God has done for me. You know, and that will open that person's heart back up like, wow, okay, God did that for him. I got to keep waiting, and he going to take care of me too. So you definitely want to guide people and guide them in that right direction.
All right, all right. Minister AJ, we're talking about godly men who intentionally guides others.
It's our assignment to intentionally guide people. You know, once the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you know, we are supposed to be the witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and the utmost part of the world. So, and because it's our, first of all, it starts with being our assignment, that we should be intentional in leading other people. It's our job. You know, if we don't do nothing else, we are supposed to intentionally lead other people to a better place, you know, even as pastors and leaders. How can they hear unless a preacher, you know, preach? You know, it's our assignment as leaders, you know, and as men to lead people to Christ intentionally.
All right, all right. Pastor KL, a godly man intentionally guides others.
Follow me as I follow Christ. I mean, that's basically it right there. Follow me as I follow Christ. That's what we do when we minister, when we get on the pulpit every Sunday, when we go out and we live our life. You know what I mean? But you know what? Let's even take away the pulpit. Your life is supposed to be an example. You know, being saved and being a Christian is a way of life. You know, this is what you do every day. When you get up in the morning, this is who I am. So like I said before, people are reading your book. So if they're reading, listen, you ever have a good author, and after you read that one book, you want to read everything he or she wrote. What you're doing, you're following them. You know, read my book and see where God has brought me from. Turn the pages and see some of the hurts that I've overcome. Turn my pages and see some of the people who criticized me and ostracized me and scandalized my name. Turn my pages and see where I am today. See how I've overcome, that one day I can put on my robe and tell the story how I made it over. Follow me as I follow Christ. I tell my wife all the time, once you feel that I no longer hear God, stop following me. But as long as you believe the God in me and believe that I can touch heaven and believe that I can get a prayer through, keep following me. Follow me intentionally, because as he blesses me, he blesses you. Because as the oil falls from Aaron's beard, you're going to get blessed. So if you want to stay blessed, stay close. Stay close to the fire, because everything around the fire will turn hot. Listen, you put some coals in a barbecue grill, not only one coal is going to get hot, but when it stays close enough to that coal that starts, everything gets hot. So stay close, because I'm hot right now, baby. I'm hot right now. I'm hot right now. Stay close.
All right. All right. Yes. Gentlemen, you have done a fantastic job, and we're going to close with this one. And you're giving your closing. A godly man grows deeper in the Lord. A godly man grows deeper in the Lord. The journey never stops. Brother Al, get us started.
Yes. It grows deeper. As you learn, as I can speak for myself, as you're learning the word, you get hungrier and hungrier to learn more. As you see the blessing comes, you just get hungry of learning more and more and getting deeper involved. Understanding things as you take this walk, as I said, for me, and learning things, you start not to do certain things. Okay, I didn't know that we're not supposed to do that, but now that I know, okay, cool, I'm on to the next step. So you get more hungrier and hungrier to learn and be more in the Lord. And as you do that, you start getting deeper and deeper. And the deeper you get in, the more you learn, the more God talks to you, and the more he orders your steps.
Minister AJ, your closing, a godly man grows deeper in the Lord. The journey never ends.
The journey never ends. And I'll say it this way, he who gets the Son, meaning the Son of God, gets everything. Your journey never stops. So let's take the word Son and break it down and end on this note. Let's take the word S. You can do salvation there, or you can do stay in power. I like stay in power. Does not matter what we're going through. You can stay the course when you have the Son. You can keep on pressing. And the O stands for override. It does not matter what is throwing our way. You know, think it's not strange concerning the fiery darts that come to test us. You know, but even as a believer, even though I might be thrown in the fire, he's going to give me enough power to override what I am dealing with. And that's why all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord. It don't have to be perfect. It could be messy. It could be, you know, somebody raising hell on our job, but he'll give you the power to override. And the end says, for nevertheless, you know, does not matter what we are going through, we can continue and go on, because nay and yea and all these things, we are yet more than conquerors. And that's the Son. If you get the Son, you get everything. You get staying power. You get the ability to override. And no matter what the situation is, you can say, nevertheless, it's not I, but it's the Christ that lives inside of me.
Amen, amen, amen.
All right,
you gentlemen,
brother.
Are doing
all right,
fantastic, man. Fantastic, fantastic closing. Pastor Kale, you have the final word today. And we're closing with, you know, a godly man grows deeper in the Lord. The journey never ends.
You know, they tell me, and I don't know firsthand, but they tell me that when a crackhead smokes crack for the first time, he keeps on looking for that same high because it almost blows his mind. You know, an alcoholic does some things to suppress some things. You know, when you find Jesus, he that the Son sets free, it's free indeed. And the more you can read the Bible 50 times from front to back, and every time you read it, God gives you another revelation, depending on where you are in God. So as you keep on living this life, God will give you new revelation. God will take you to higher heights and deeper depths. But you have to yearn for that word. You know, that word can do something for you. That word can change your entire life around. You've got to have a relationship with God. You've got to dig down deep and say, for God I live and for God I live. You know, some folks say, for God I live and for God I die. But he says that I come that you might have life and have that more abundantly. He ain't asked you to die for him. So for God I live and for God I live. And if I keep on living this godly life, if I keep on being a man of God, then I know that God is going to take me to the next level. I know that God is going to continue to order my steps. I know that God is going to continue to speak through me. All I have to do is open up my mouth and the words will flow. I know that God will never leave me. I know that God is on my side. I know that God will place a hedge around me and my family simply because of whose I am. Catch it. Not who I am, but because of whose I am. I know that God is going to work it out in spite of what it looks like. But I got to have a deeper walk with God. I can't just stop here. I've come too far to turn back now. If you brought me to this level, I know there's another level. When my brother Al graduated, I know he went to another level. Now think about it. He graduated at this age. So think about what God can do for you. God can, God can take you to levels you wouldn't believe you can go to, but you've got to stay the course. You've got to stay the race. The race is not given to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, but to the one that endureth unto the end. That's why the old folks used to say, I believe that I run on just to see what the end is going to be.
Amen. Amen, amen,
hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You men have done a fantastic job and have pushed us straight into the weekend, sending us off with a bang, and I thank you for doing such a wonderful, blessed job guiding others into how to be a godly man and just showing what godly looks like. Thank you so much. I pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Wonderful. You too. You too. God bless everybody.
Thank you. All right. We have some comments from the early part of the show, but considering that we're going to continue those bad bathing habits on Monday, God spares. I'm going to ask Shantice to hold those comments until then. And we're going to kind of review what we went through and go straight through. Okay? Let me read our benediction. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's Romans 8, 38 through 39. You know, it was quoted that nothing will separate us from the love of God. And, you know, once you make that decision to be a godly individual, nothing will stop you. Nothing. Nothing. You know, the gentleman talked about, you know, the components of, you know, giving to the poor and trusting God and being compassionate, being righteous, you know, loving the word of the Lord, knowing the word of the Lord, getting help, you know, praying, being a praying man of God, you know, being accountable, serving in your personal ministry, you know, all of those things really, really, really bring us closer to the Lord. And, you know, godly men, we're short of these days. We're short of men, period, to be honest with you. We're short of men these days, you know, examples of who and what God wants us to be. And we're giving God thanks that, and I say this all the time, you know, we give God thanks with, you know, for Pastor KL, Brother Al, Minister AJ, Pastor Ed, and Dwayne, Techie Talk Dwayne, you know, who have shown and exemplified for a whole year that, no, we're not flawless. We make mistakes, but we are striving men of God. They have been extremely transparent before us. They've been honest about, you know, their struggles. And that's what being godly is about. Being godly is not hiding, you know, what you do. You know, we talk about putting our struggles on display, which is much different than, you know, just kind of blundering at times, you know, trying to do it the right way. No, you know, being godly, those components that, you know, these men talked about this morning, those are huge. You know, when you step up and have accountability, when you ask for help, you know, people have a big thing with asking for help these days, men and women, because everybody wants to make it appear as though they know everything. I don't need help. And especially men, you know, we joke about that all the time. Men will rather stay lost than to ask for help. And, you know, it's like you're scratching your head like, hello. And it's whatever it is they need to do to bumble and stumble around, they'd rather ride around for years than to just simply ask for help. But we pray for growth, and that's why we ended with that, growing deeper in the Lord. You know, that's the journey never ends. You know, we talked yesterday as a crew, and we put something on the line that, you know, people just do remotely, people do because that's what they were taught, shown, That's what they see the world doing. And it just seems so innocent and natural to do these things. You know, I don't see anything wrong with saying that. You know, I mean well. And, you know, I say this with, you know, kindness and goodness on my heart. But is it godly? That's the question we ask. That's the question we need to ask on a daily basis. Is my life a godly life? Are the things I'm doing godly? Am I revealing who God is in my life? We can't walk and talk this thing. And when it's time to show who we are and who God is, more importantly than who we are, we fail that test. That's, it's not that, man, this walk ain't easy. But as long as you keep God first and foremost in your life, you can't go wrong. I am a living witness to that. These men have spoken about that today. It's not about perfection. It's about striving. It's about getting up each and every day, telling the Lord, thank you for waking me up. And I need you on today's journey. I don't know what I'm about to face. I don't know what I'm going to come up against. I don't know what the enemy has planned for me. I don't even know what my own spirit is going to do. But I do know one thing, that I trust in you to help guide me every step of the way. I'm asking you to order my steps. I'm asking you to open up my eyes that I might see differently today. I'm asking you to open up my ears that I may hear from you differently. I'm asking that every place I put my feet, that it will be illuminated by your light, your lamp. Your lamp will guide me every step I take. Yeah, I know I'm getting ready to go on a job that I can do with my eyes closed. But because I don't know what today has in store for me, I'm going to give this day to you. I'm growing deeper in you today. I have that determination that what I know from yesterday ain't good enough for today. What my strength was last week ain't good enough for today. Because I need to be more godly today than I was yesterday. So now that you have been so kind to me to wake me up today, I'm going to give this back to you so you can give it to me. It doesn't belong to me. I don't own it. Because if I'm going to live a godly life, then I've got to make you the priority. If I'm going to live a godly life, I've got to go with what you say. Not what I say, not what I think, not what I feel, not what I don't want to do, what I like. No. Because see, this is about living a godly life. So there's nowhere in the world it's about me. Nowhere in the world. So now that I'm up, and have awakened me in my right frame of mind, this day belongs to you more than it belonged to you yesterday. And I thank you. And I love you. And today I want to be more godly. So I welcome you more into my life. That's what the day should start off with. So make sure you put those words into your vocabulary. And that's the way you give God your life each and every day. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, because they always serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my men of warfare for sending us on a weekend of thought-provoking, biblical, godly things. I want to thank you for hanging out with us all week and listening, and I pray that you were blessed because this was some dynamic week. Keep in mind that later is not promised to us, so you want to accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now. Until Monday, where we're shaking the Monday morning blues together one more time, if God spares our life, I love you. Have a blessed weekend.